It's the official, unofficial podcast of the city of Trenton, New Jersey. Yeah. With your host, Frank Ferocious Sasso.
Trenton still makes and the world still takes.
And Christina Firestarter Sasso.
Trenton is Mayberry with attitude.
Hang tight, because we're going to meet the lifeblood behind the culture, food, arts, music, pork roll, punk rock, hair, butts,
education, talent, events,
of Trenton, New Jersey. Here's Frank and Christina.
That's right, we are back again after 75 with that hot chip challenge. That was amazing.
Yeah, we cheated.
Well, yeah, but it was still amazing. Of course we cheated. I wasn't going to eat that freaking thing. Are you nuts? That chip was disgusting.
We tasted a tiny piece of it, and much to Will Foskey's chagrin, he was not pleased with us that day.
No, he was not
happy. I felt so bad.
What a jerk. He made me feel really bad, and he's like, yo, it's all right, you know, all right. Like, dude, I had to call him back like three times after that.
So now we have to really do it, which I'm not looking forward to.
Well, now what's happening is Will Foskey, you and I, and Aaron, we're going to be doing that challenge for real, the four of us.
Okay.
And it's going to be on video. We're going to actually really do it. Okay. And I think, honestly, Aaron is going to cave.
I just don't like it. It's horrible.
You're not supposed to enjoy it. It's a challenge. It's supposed to be hard.
Okay.
I thought that Dorito chip was more intense.
Well, at least it had flavor.
It had flavor.
The absolutely. Other one had nothing.
So that was episode 75 with Senpai and Torch.
Yes, appropriately so.
Appropriately so. And listen, people, Podcastia, keep sending your emails to the NJDOT because they're not liking us at all. And quite frankly, we don't care.
Yes.
I'm glad they're annoyed.
Yes, I have a little problem. They sent us an email and said we were rude. Okay, now.
Is that your problem?
Maybe we were a little rude, but I was very, very incensed and angered. And the man really ought not have done that because basically he reprimanded us. We have a problem that you treat Princeton and Ewing better than you treat Trenton. And that to me is elitist and racist.
Yes.
There, I said it. There you go.
Yeah.
And if that's rude, then so be it.
Then rude we are.
The other thing he said was writing letters or sending emails is not the appropriate way to address the, you know, the governmental office. And I'm like, since when?
Yeah.
What we're supposed to do is wait on them to have a public forum. And then we all go and meet at their discretion and find out what they have to say. And I beg to differ, but I think from the beginning of letter writing has been the way to, you know, talk to your congressman, your representatives, the president, if you want to, corporations, you write letters. And in this day and age, they happen to be emails. And oh, well, you have to deal with it.
That's it.
Rise up, Trentonians, and anyone who loves history and feels the injustice of this action by the DOT to disregard a historic bridge in the city of Trenton that would make it great and bring tourists here and elevate the city and its residents. Mm-hmm. I forgot what I said.
I'm waiting for the big finale here.
What I was going to say.
Just leave us hanging.
I forgot how I started.
Where were you going with that?
Anyway,
keep that sounded so good.
I know, and it is good.
Man.
Keep at it, folks. Don't let up. This is a democracy in action. This is how it works. The government doesn't tell you what to do. You tell the government what to do. They work for you.
Yes. And that's just so you know, Mayor Reed Gussiura from Trenton.
Yes.
He's on our side.
That's right. The Trentonians are on our side.
Well, yeah. I'm just
saying. So I'm saying rise up, Trentonians, and take your place in history.
Yes. Stop. And of course, John Hatch is on our side.
Of course.
We love John Hatch.
What more do you want than that?
And there it is. And by the way, Podcastia, if you don't know what we're talking about, go to episode 74. It's called the NJDOT episode. Listen to that episode so you know what we're ranting about. Okay. Okay.
And speaking of history.
Yes. Hang on. Hang on.
I'm excited.
I know you're very excited. Because this woman hasn't been out of her house since March of 2020.
God. Almost a year.
Almost a year. She's been indoors.
Aww.
She's been on Zoom. She's been very active virtually.
Yes.
But we got her in the studio.
I am very honored that this is the first outing that you've come here. Thank you for that.
Don't start speaking. I'm talking to the guest.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, I'm going to mute her mic. There. I just muted her mic. Look at how much better we sound.
Listen,
now.
Can you just introduce her? Because I want to get started.
Yeah, okay. But she's got to calm down. She's making a mess over there with the sugar and the coffee and everything. I've got to get you acclimated to society again. Good Lord. She's also the president of the William Trent Museum.
Yes. Yeah. I love the Trent House.
Yes.
I want to sleep well. In the Trent House.
All right, we're going to get into all this. The Trent House is great. I'm on the board of the Trent. I share board
duties.
Duties. She's amazing. She's beautiful. Innocent.
She is beautiful.
She's striking.
She's beautiful.
I take beautiful very, very seriously, that word.
I know. It's just me,
I
right?
I just throw it around willy-nilly.
I'm the only beauty in your life.
Yes, you are. You are beautiful.
Aw.
She's striking.
I think she's beautiful.
She's very cute. All right. It's a very long intro. The president of the William Trent House Museum and other things. Not that she's president of other things, but she does. She's involved with other stuff. Miss Princess Hoagland is here with us today. Welcome, Princess. Listen to that. They love you already.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
Really?
I am. Mm. I'm excited.
Look at you. I've never seen you. I didn't recognize you without the mask on. I've only seen you in a mask.
I know.
Put the mask down.
It's okay.
I got to treat it like I did John Hatch with a mask. No one's catching COVID in the studio.
No.
So how are you?
I'm doing well.
What's going on with you?
Right now, I'm just involved in schoolwork, in organization stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's it. And all the little things that I do that make a big thing, and hopefully everything will come together.
Right. You are the perpetual student. I see you wearing a Stockton University hoodie there. Yes.
Is that where you went to school?
That's where I'm going, yes.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you're going there.
I'm going there.
I have an MIT sweatshirt.
And never set foot near MIT.
My first girlfriend gave me that shirt.
And you don't have it anymore.
And she said, I want you to wear this because I want you to look like an intellectual. I'm like, that's going to do it?
And the sweatshirt,
and
did
MIT
that help?
With that morons in terror? I don't even know what that even stood for. It was her brother's.
Massachusetts
Institute. Yeah, and I don't have it anymore. That's right.
Technology.
You're right, I don't have it anymore.
You don't have old girlfriend's outfits anymore.
No, I listen.
I mean, my God, that was when you were in high school. Please. That was like 50 years ago.
It wasn't 50 years ago. I wasn't 2 years old when I was in high school. I was 16 years old.
She was 16 years old.
Okay.
All right. Anyway.
Anyway. So what were we talking about? Oh, Princess. Right. Yes. Hello, Princess.
Wait, before we get any off the track here. All right. I'm going to ask Princess my question.
Okay.
My first question is, Princess, in your journey of life, what brought you to Trenton, New Jersey?
I was born and raised in Trenton,
ooh,
New Jersey. Yes. Yeah, so my mother came up when she was about 18 years old from Charleston, South Carolina.
Really?
And she's the youngest of 13.
Wow.
So her oldest sister, who she came to live with, is, of course, was old enough to be her mother.
Okay.
Right? So so she lived there and studied beautician, but, you know, went to beautician school. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I came to be here.
Oh, wow. So did your mom meet your dad up in Trenton?
Certainly did.
Wow.
Right? He lived right next door to my mother's sister's house.
Wow.
Yeah, so
wow.
That's how they met.
That is so cool. So where did they live? What part of Trenton? What was that house?
Okay. That was on Mechanics Avenue, mm-hmm. East Trenton.
Oh, wow. That's so cool. So you have a history here, and that's cool because I feel like the last couple of people that we've had on the show are all born and bred Trentonians, which is really cool because there's a base of people that have been here and seen a lot of different things happening, and there's a group of people that have come here, like Frank and I, and are discovering it still after almost 20 years. And then there's new people coming in who maybe have only been here a few years.
Right.
It's a very vital city.
And so. There's a lot of people like myself who've lived here all their lives who are just discovering Trenton.
Amen. That's cool.
Oh, you just found out something today. The first professional basketball game was played here in Trenton.
In the country.
Right here in Trenton. Who they play against?
They played my hometown, Brooklyn.
Brooklyn, New York.
Me and John Hatch.
You and John.
Oh, who won?
Trenton won. Of course, Trenton won.
So... I know you have your hands in a lot of different pies.
Yes.
Tell us about some of that. Like, wherever you want to start is fine.
I was trying to be, you know, really covert about it.
let me just point something out. I'm talking to Princess the other day on the phone. I'm telling her, just come on the show. We'll talk to you.
Oh, Frank, I'm so nervous. I don't know what to say. Are you sure? I don't know what to say.
And now it's like you put the mic in front of her, she's turning into a lounge act. Because she's so animated.
I just gesticulated. Yeah, you got out of that show quick.
Right. You know, she's like me with the hands.
You busted out of the show quick. Are you part Italian?
Almost.
What does that mean, almost?
No.
What? All right. So almost, no.
No, way back, Scottish. Way back.
You know, my wife is Scottish.
Well, like this much.
We're cousins. They like that much too, see?
Like 6%, 7%?
Was it that high? I think it was maybe a little higher than that.
Well, wow. Christine is 6%.
Yeah. I'm 6%.
Then I'm more Scottish.
But she also owns land in Scotland.
But Frank, then you beat me with
she's
that.
Lady Christina Sasso.
Frank got me a little plot. It's like,
I got her a 10-foot plot. It's legitimate. It's legit. It's totally legit. Scotland legitimized it. You're a lady in Scotland.
Oh, at least I'm a lady somewhere.
Yeah. No, lady, that's my wife.
Yeah. And so, you know, I found out because my mother did the DNA, the Ancestry.com.
Yes, me too.
And
yeah, right.
I did the African Ancestry.
What's that? Tell us.
It's what it does is it does the same thing where it takes your DNA, mm-hmm. and it tells you what peoples you're from on the African continent.
Wow.
It follows your mother's bloodline.
Okay.
The matriarchal line. Mm-hmm. And so from my mother, we learn where her people are from. And so that naturally went to myself and my sisters and then my children. So I didn't have to go through the African ancestry mm-hmm. because my mother had.
Okay. Hmm.
And my father's no longer here. Okay. So I'm not able to go follow that line.
Right. You have kids?
I have 5 children.
What?
Wow. Yes.
You have 5 children?
I have 5. My baby will be 30 this year.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm
going to
faint right now because
you were 9 years old.
Listen, you look like you're barely 30.
Oh, you're so kind.
I mean it. I absolutely mean it. Yeah. I would, like, when you said your kids, you were talking about your kids buying property, I'm like, how old are these kids? Like I'm thinking they're at best in high school.
I thought she meant her students when she said that.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
That is nuts. So most people do Ancestry DNA, but you went and did the African one. Why does it have to be an African one? Why can't it just be Ancestry DNA and you get where you get from and that's it? Why does it have to be an African one?
Because what Ancestry does for you, it kind of tells you where on the continent of Africa your people are from.
Right.
But what African Ancestry does is tell you the tribe of people. It goes all the way to the tribe.
But aren't there different tribes of, let's say, like, you know, Jewish people and stuff like that? Aren't they from tribes?
Well, then maybe there's one for that.
It may be. I'm not sure.
I don't even know. I'm just asking.
There may be.
There might be.
And you know what? I see that. I get updates from Ancestry.com because as they, I guess, whatever they do, the medical science is improving, whatever it is, they're able to give you more information.
Mm-hmm. Really?
So you're able to find all the people that you're related to, for the most part, who have signed up for the service.
Okay.
But it's just amazing. And because, you know, we have this history where we can say I'm African American, but what from what country?
Mm-hmm.
We don't know. Right?
So now. Kenya.
No.
Right. See, because Africa is not a country. It's a continent,
right.
Made
it
up of many countries. Right. It's interesting because I was just watching a murder mystery, and what had happened was these little boys were being found, these African boys, and they wanted to, they had no idea who they were. They didn't know their names, and they were trying to pinpoint at least what part of Africa they were from. So they took their bone DNA and they were able to tell, oh, this boy was from the Congo. This boy was from this part of Africa. So when you're saying that, yes, and that was an old show. So this is cool that you can pinpoint. So where is your mother's family from?
All right. So Ecuador and Guinea, Cameroon. Those are the two that were the most predominant.
Mm-hmm.
But there is mixture. I have Nigerian and Ghanaian because we're talking about people who were brought over all the way and gone all the way through Ghana.
Mm-hmm.
All right, coming from the more southeastern part and going over more western.
Mm-hmm.
And put on those ships that came over to the different parts of America,
mm-hmm.
starting with Brazil first and moving on up. It's a mixture. We're a mixture of those different people.
Wow.
Knowing where you're from is so important. Mm-hmm. How can I move on without knowing who I am. Mm-hmm. That's so important when we talk about history and the feeling of belonging and mm-hmm. who I am right. as a human being. Mm-hmm. It gives you a sense of pride. It's a sadness mixed in with that to know why you are the way you are. Mm-hmm. But it's important, and we all need that. And now that the technology is available, I think we all should find out who we are.
Right. And I also think that it gives you connections. Like, even if you don't know anybody in that country, there's a connection there. Like, if you went back there, I feel like you would be instantly connected to some of these people that you're connected to simply by the location mm-hmm. of where your ancestors are from. I think that's just super cool. Would you ever want to go there?
I do want to go to those countries. Mm-hmm. I've been to Ghana twice.
Oh, wow.
And I've gone to Egypt, but that was many, many, many years ago. But Ghana twice just recently. The Christmas time from 2019 through the beginning of January 2020.
Wow.
And then 2018.
So what did you, okay. how did you enjoy your trip? Like, what did you find when you went there?
Oh my goodness. We are the same people. You see people that you know, the faces are the people you see here. Mm-hmm. You know, so you see that obvious connection. Mm-hmm. And you see mostly only us. So that's a whole different thing going
right,
on.
Right, right.
How about this? The stores are the same. Okay, the stores. Like, it was a ShopRite.
Okay.
Really?
Yes.
Oh my God.
They had a store like Target, like Target. Uh-huh. And so I don't know.
We have a very high class listener. Yeah. They know what Target means.
Yeah. So it was just seeing those similarities, but then seeing that other side where you see the villages mm-hmm. and you see the school children.
Right.
It's community based. It's like all these communities mm-hmm. are just raising their children, educating their children, and the marriages that are going on, and then the funerals that occur where people are dressed so beautifully and so elaborately, and how they honor their recently deceased, where mm-hmm. it's days of the ceremonies and then the parties afterwards. So it could be like a week long or so.
Mm. Wow.
So it was just that interesting thing, just seeing and watching, and I'm still processing. Mm-hmm. I see videos and I'm like, oh yeah, I remember. And then seeing people in the middle of what we would say are not so much highways, but almost, they're carrying things on their head and they're selling things to you as you're waiting for the light to turn green. So it was just those sights and sounds and smells, and I felt safe.
Mm.
But then you go from one town to another, then you see the armed guards. I'm like, oh, okay.
Okay.
Checkpoints.
Okay.
From one place to another. And so when the officers come in and they peer in, the driver has to explain, hey, these are Americans here.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because they can't just pass through. Like, what is your purpose from leaving out this mm-hmm. town to go to this other town?
Really? Mm-hmm. I think we'd fit right in there.
You know what? You would be treated like royalty.
People say all the time we're part black.
Yeah, you kind of look it.
Yeah,
especially in this light.
What? Wait a minute. Wait a second. That makes sense.
It's the shine off his head.
I'm a white guy sitting under fluorescent lighting, of all things.
But I see that little shade in it.
And because of that.
That little melanin. Don't yeah.
You know what's funny? Speaking about melanin, next week, Ebony Johnson, the editor-in-chief of Everyday Melanin magazine, is coming in.
Oh, okay.
She's coming in next week.
Yeah, see?
It's kind of funny that you would say you just ruined our show for next
week. Oh, I'm sorry, but I'm just
saying. Speaking of princess, now you say royalty. Now, is that your real name or is that a nickname?
That is my real name.
So it says princess on your birth certificate.
Oh, my birthday.
Can you show that to us?
I can show it to you right now.
Let's see it.
See? Here it is.
Hang on, let me just see it. No, she just happened to have it on her. No, don't. It does say princess. Let me throw this back to you.
Now, did you have other brothers and sisters?
I have two younger sisters. They're 9.5 and 10.5 years younger than I am.
Wow.
Okay. Now, what are their names?
Dia Ware and Starnia Ware.
Dinnerware and what?
No.
Yes. Dia.
Dia.
Oh, Dia Ware. Yeah, I thought she said dinnerware. I really did. And silverware, right?
And is that the other one?
Starnia Ware. Oh, Ware is the last name?
W-A-R-E.
Oh, is that your maiden name?
No.
So it's not Princess Ware Hoagland?
No, it's Princess Latimer.
Latimer?
Yes.
So Ware is part of their first name?
No, Ware is their last name.
Okay.
We have different fathers. Don't tell anybody.
All right, I got a question now for you, Princess. Mm-hmm. We serve on the Trent House board together.
Yes.
Where I'm a trustee, but you're an officer. So I'm much lower on the
evolutionary you're not. Actually, you're ladder. Higher. You just don't recognize it yet.
No, I'm not. I, look, yeah. you're higher. Believe me, I know I'm lower. Please, please. Let's thank you for that, but let's just talk honestly here. The Trent House, William Trent, which is what Trenton is named after, Trent's town, Trenton, or you could say Trenton.
Yeah.
This guy, he had slaves or enslaved people. Now, being a black woman, how do you feel about being the president of the Trent House Museum?
I feel like it makes sense. Mm-hmm. It makes so much sense.
Really?
Yes.
Explain how that makes sense.
Okay.
Why shouldn't it be a white person?
Oh, it was already.
No, I know that.
They did that already.
But she's been exiled to Colorado.
No. She's still here. Yeah. But it makes sense because we now get to tell a story from a perspective perhaps that may not have been considered before.
Wow.
And it makes sense because what do African Americans say all the time is we built this country, right?
Mm-hmm.
With
yes.
our free labor. So why not be able to go into this house that you know we helped build and that we served in?
That's an interesting take because I'm thinking, you know, as like white people who are feeling guilty about being white all of a sudden, which we don't feel guilty, but we want to understand things, right? So you think it's better not to just dismantle the Trent House because the guy had slaves there. You think it's better to then display a different perspective on the Trent House as educational, maybe to educate people instead of taking things down because the guy had enslaved people at the time.
You know, it's telling the truth about what happened.
Mm-hmm.
We need to know. It's like, how can we grow as humans and as a society if we don't know what happened and why?
Right.
What was the impetus? How this whole thing works out?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness. When I think about William Trent, you know, one of the first things I asked about?
What?
Where was he buried?
Where is he buried?
We don't know.
I think he's buried in Carolyn Stetson's backyard. That's what I think.
See, that's the thing. We don't know.
That is so weird.
It is weird. What a conspiracy. And then years after his death, there were at least two African-American men who were hanged because they were accused of having poisoned him years before. Right?
Wow.
Like, what a conspiracy that's happened,
so
right?
So wait a second.
Ooh, I got the chills.
How is he not buried on the property?
He's not. We don't
how
know.
How do you know?
He might be. We don't know.
We don't know. There's no record. We know where his wife was laid to rest.
And where's that?
Where's she?
I believe she's where the hospital is, the state hospital.
Oh, wow.
The psychiatric hospital.
Mm. Oh, can you go there and see the site or is it under like rubble or something?
You may see a tombstone of other people, but not of her, but that was the resting place. The psychiatric hospital.
Ooh.
There's a whole bunch, there's so much mystery that's going on.
Hey, Richard Hunter over at Hunter Research, why don't you get on that? Where the heck is Trent buried?
Tell us a little bit more about your feelings and your goals for the future of the Trent House.
Yes.
All right. Well, we want to look at all those people who were on that land. So we're looking at the Lenni Lenape people.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the archaeology digs that have gone on for the past 2 years. We had one in 2020, one prior to that in 2019. And it may have been something prior to that, but we had a significant dig last year.
Mm-hmm.
Where we're digging and seeing those artifacts of the indigenous people who were here.
Mm-hmm.
And even prehistoric, when we're talking thousands of years
ago. Wow.
And it's so interesting. It's like things that was not brought to my attention before in school, not at all, that we're seeing and we're able to tell a story and really build on what was written in the books, that like having that come to life where you can see these articles.
Mm-hmm.
And then be told a story, and then you dig further and further. Now I understand historians, how you can do this for the rest of your life.
Really?
Right, right.
You can. Please understand, that wasn't my trajectory. I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know about the Trent House. Please understand.
Mm-hmm.
I first learned about it when my fourthborn was there and took some photos when she was in high school. And I'm like, oh, I don't even know where that is. And then when I saw that, I said, oh, there's that building, but I don't know if I can even step foot on there. I don't know what you have to do to get in
there.
And so I did.
And now you're president.
And now I'm president.
We started on the board at the same exact time.
Yeah.
the same day.
Oh, no.
Yes, yes. No. How did you get to be president is what I want to know.
Because you're
we
not
didn't.
Worthy.
You know why?
What do I have to do to get in there?
You know what happened?
No, tell me.
You didn't want to. You were too busy.
I think you had blackmail for us or somebody.
No, you were too busy.
You were. Yeah. I can attest to that.
You were too busy, Frank. Yeah. Mm.
You didn't want it.
You, that's right, Frank. Don't try.
Yeah, don't even say that. But listen, I want to say something because you are so funny just watching you. We don't have a video of you, but you're so passionate.
I know, she's pointing at me and everything.
You're so excited. And I totally get it. Because in high school, I took history and I really didn't like it. It was very dry. It was very unrelatable to me. I'm like, I don't really care what the Egyptians did and they built a pyramid. Blah. It's just American history I kind of was interested in, but it wasn't really presented. Thank God for my mom, because my mom was really into history and she was the one who lit the fire.
Yeah, she knew her history.
Like she would say, take me to these places, you know, New York, and we'd go to the Trinity Cathedral and she'd say, oh, you know, Washington came here. You need somebody who has passion and makes it come alive.
Yes.
Like these are real people and they had faults and they were maybe not really great people. Maybe they were good people. Maybe they were a little bit of both. And there's other people, like the books that I read, probably the same ones, like they're probably not even true, some of the stuff that's in there, because we've evolved so much from what we teach our kids now about history. It was like so black and white. And then there's so many more layers. And I feel that your passion is really to like bring all the color of history to the front. There's something for everybody.
There is something for everyone.
You can find yourself in history.
You can find yourself everywhere. Like those degrees of separation.
Mm-hmm.
You can find yourself.
Right.
You know, it's not like no matter where in the world you ended up, if you really dig deep, you will find out how your families in the past, somewhere along the lines, the paths crossed.
Mm-hmm.
Is it something that God is doing? God is doing this for me.
Yes.
Just bringing these things to me. And I'm like, I don't know. I didn't anticipate it. I didn't plan this out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what I want to do when I grow up. I still don't.
Me too.
I don't know where the path will lead me.
Mm-hmm.
But where it has led me, I am so grateful. I can't even tell you the joy that it brings me to have met the people that I've met. I would not have known anything about what was going on, the vibrancy in downtown Trenton, the art in downtown Trenton.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to work and going home and going to school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was like, that's it. And I didn't connect with the people right in my community. Even though I made it a point to stay in Trenton, I did not connect with my neighbor. I grew up in the Miller Homes. If you remember the Miller Homes, which is now come down, it's on between Lincoln Avenue and Monmouth Street. They were two 10-story high-rise buildings, and it was the crime center of Trenton.
Mm-hmm.
Any illicit activity you wanted to happen, happened there. I lived there for 14 years of my life.
Wow.
And so you got so numb to the crime, like I heard sirens every day. It would be the fire, the police. But you know what? It never made me run to my window and say, what's going on?
Right.
I just turned the TV up because it was interfering with the program.
Right, right.
You know? So you become so desensitized. And then as I grew up, you know that I've been traumatized by it because these were things that were norms for me.
Right.
To see this crime, the drugs and all of those things that you would read about and say, oh my God, the inner city.
Mm-hmm.
That's me. And having a parent who says you're supposed to do certain things, even though she did not do it herself, meaning going on to college. She always wanted to, but she didn't know how.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't have a model to show her how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And even when I was going through it, she couldn't help me in that regard. So it's like I have to rely on just looking around, just seeing and saying, I want to go here. What do I do?
Mm-hmm.
And then people guiding me that way.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a lot of us like that who haven't received the guidance. People don't tell you how to get from point A to B.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so you're left wondering, how do you do it?
Mm.
And you learn that some people don't want to share information with you.
Yes.
And that's so sad.
It is. It is. I don't think people understand that the more you share, the more you get back. It's like they're holding on to something, and meanwhile, they're losing by holding on to something.
Yes.
Well, it's because it's all based in fear.
Right, that's right, right. It's fear-based.
You're afraid of losing.
Like someone's going to get something that I have.
Right. Right. Exactly. The competition will be too great. Right. And even when we look at local government, how many of us really understand how local government works? Mm-hmm. Yeah. We weren't taught that in school. You were given something like social studies. Now they have civics, perhaps. Mm-hmm. And it depends on which teacher you have as to how much you get. But most of the time you're learning about national stuff.
Right.
Like the national elections.
Right.
But you don't know who your
I know who your representative
your council
is.
Or
your council people. Yeah, right.
You have
your city.
No idea.
Right. Exactly. Right.
Right. And right. Some people may not know who the mayor is. You know, look at the turnout for the election. Mm-hmm. So it's like it's just we're not being taught how things work so that we can be better citizens.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. We don't know how things are done or what we're supposed to do to make sure that they function properly. Mm-hmm. And I'm so happy that you have the letter writing campaign and you're teaching people that they answer to you. It's right. not the other way around.
Right.
But that's not what we're taught. Mm-hmm. We hold them, we put them on pedestals, and we're afraid to approach them because we have to do things properly. We don't know the protocol. Yeah. It's like
they're celebrities.
Right.
Right.
Are you kidding me?
And even if they are celebrities, who's giving them money? And we're paying those people.
Right, exactly.
We are paying them.
Yes.
Exactly
yes.
right.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask you, how did you get from that girl in the projects who was making the TV loud or with the mom who wanted to do her best to where you are now, where you're educated, you've been to college, you're still going to college, the president of the Trent House. We haven't even touched on other things that you're involved in. How did you make that transition? What was it in your life that allowed you to bridge that gap?
It was a mother who told me I was supposed to do it. I was supposed to. And so I found out how to do it. And I asked for help along the way. And I just lucked out to work with companies who paid for education.
Wow.
So that was beautiful. And I thank all those companies that I worked for who paid for my education.
And thank God for the moms.
And thank God for my mother.
Yeah. Oh, moms are great. Like my mom, too. Like she always inspired me. And even though she didn't go to college or anything, she was the pusher, you know, and she had passion about certain things and it instilled it in me. So you're blessed in your journey. And, you know, of course, God.
Yes.
You know, that he has his hand on your life. And I was just reading something about the journey and how, you know, a lot of people want to get to the destination. I want to get to the top of the mountain. When am I going to make it? But it's the journey.
It's the journey. Mm-hmm.
That's the exciting part. Sometimes it's painful, but it's really where all the lessons are learned and all the excitement, right?
All the ups and the downs, all the disappointments, all the shunning and the people who turn their backs on me, all those things I am happy for because it shows me something. It shows me something about people and myself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, we could keep talking.
Yeah.
We need another show.
Well, Princess, would you like to hang around for a little something we call plugs?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Trenton Wage Slugs.
Hey, Podcastia, let's see what this guest has to plug.
Whenever you say plugs.
Yeah. What do you think? I got to get this now.
Think of hair plugs.
You think of hair plugs?
I do.
I would never do that.
Well, maybe because you're bald.
That's why I would do hair plugs, because I'm bald. That's why I said I would never do that. And you say, yeah, well, you're bald. Well, yeah.
No, that's why I think of it.
Oh, you think of hair plugs because I'm bald. Okay. All right. Well, anyway, TrentWaves.com. Visit us on all social media platforms except for TikTok, because we don't like TikTok. Don't like it at all.
I don't even know what it is.
I don't even care.
Okay.
You know what? One of our friends, Ben, God bless him, he's like 20-something years old. He says, oh, well, I can do your TikTok account. We don't want one, okay, Ben? Anyway, Princess, what do you got going on?
I want you to go to williamtrenthouse.org for our upcoming events. What you missed out on, and I know that you would want to see it, so you will have that opportunity, is In Graves of Their Own, Reclaiming the Locust Hill Cemetery. And our very own Algernon Ward will be doing that one. Oh, it was wonderful.
It was good.
Absolutely wonderful.
It was
wonderful.
Really, really good.
And on Sunday, Black Family. So the Greater Trenton, a solid branch in connection with the 1719 William Trent House Museum Programming Committee presented the Black Family. So please catch that.
Is it stored anywhere where they can go to the site and still see it?
It is stored. Yes, it is.
On williamtrenhouse.org, click on videos. It's right there.
Yes.
Oh, cool. There's also other events that are coming up that you're going to post on the site,
absolutely,
right? And social media.
Absolutely. Yes, right. We're going to have our Women's Month, which is March, and we're going to have doulas talk about the process of helping mothers go through their pregnancies and the birth, preparing those mothers. So, yes, so it's coming from that African tradition.
That's cool.
That sounds wonderful.
Further on, we're going to have so many things. Later on in the year, what we want, we're looking at sponsoring, is the African ancestry so that people can take those tests and it be revealed later on in the year.
Wow. Yes. Exciting. Yes.
I didn't even know about that. How did I not know about that?
Oh, because you've not joined our programming committee yet.
You know, I got to say something. Everybody thinks Princess is such a sweet, you know, like...
She is.
Pushover kind of person, you know. But I remember one day, because I was very, very busy.
Yeah.
I'm a very busy man, as you know.
Oh, yeah.
I called her up. I said, I'm going to have to resign from the board because I don't have enough time to do anything.
Right,
so I called and then called Princess. She's the president. Who else better to call? So, of course, I called Sam Stevens first. Anyway, who's the treasurer? Who we all love. We all love Sam.
Yes.
Right. Okay. And she goes, hi, Frank. How are you? Oh, my God. Like, she hasn't spoken to me in 25 years. Like, aww. I just saw you last week.
Aww.
And I said, listen, Princess, I'm really sorry. But, you know, my schedule is so crazy. I think I'm going to resign from the board. And our tone totally went from hi to, oh, no.
Oh, no, you don't.
No. No, you can step back for 5 minutes.
Good for her.
But no, I will not accept your resignation.
Aww.
I'm like, you're not accepting my resignation. If I quit, I quit.
But you didn't.
She made me feel so, and then she says, oh, no, you're actually higher than me. No.
Aw, she's a good leader.
She is a good leader.
Because you're still on the board.
I'm still on the board.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to figure out just what value I bring to that board. But in any event.
You are valuable.
Thank you, Princess.
And I tell you what, you bring to the board this richness that we need. You don't understand.
Is that what you call it, richness?
No, I'm telling you. Because your outlook on life, when I had a conversation with you and you told me what was important, you brought that to me. It's almost like this revelation in it and sent chills down my spine because you got this roughness about you, like, yeah, I'm New York, yeah. But it was like God-based. It was so strong in that. So I know how valuable you are. And I know that I am to serve the people that I'm working with.
Oh, I love her.
There we go.
You are wonderful. That's a true leader.
You're going to make my wife cry?
Leaders serve. Like, when a leader recognizes that, that's a true leader. That's how I feel.
Making my wife cry.
Leaders are not power hungry. True leaders. That's not a leader.
She's getting old. That's not what that was not my intent here, okay?
Well, now, too bad.
I don't need you making my wife cry.
I'm not crying. I'm just feeling, oh, that's very touching.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, now you're all in love with Princess.
I am.
Found another reason to like her.
Okay.
All right, anyway.
So here's what I want to reiterate to our listeners. If you look at the Trent House, if you're a Trentonian, or even if you're not from Trenton, and you look at the Trent House and say, that's a boring old museum about some old white guy. We don't even know where he's buried. I'm not interested. But it's not. It's alive with different kinds of peoples, with Native American people, with African American people, with servants, with rich people. It's just very much alive and rich. And the programming involved will help you see the colors of history.
Right. Working all the way from 1719 to the present.
Wow.
We're going to tell you those stories.
Watch it.
I love the stories.
Good stuff.
That's why we do the show.
That's it.
I love the stories.
All right. So you got to love those medullas. Okay.
Not medullas. That's in your brain.
What?
Doula. A doula. A doula.
Oh.
It's like a midwife.
What did
right?
I say?
Medulla.
As in medulla oblongata.
Right.
Okay. Well, you got to love them too. Without them, you wouldn't appreciate what a doula does.
That's right.
Okay.
In your imaginings and your dreams and your visions for Trenton, what do you see?
I see a society where our children are educated and that we are free to be who we want to be without fear and without anything standing in our way to hinder our progress. I see us having those, what I see as 21st century types of opportunities. One of the things is a library, 21st century library system throughout the city of Trenton. I think that's one of the most important foundations we need, and to learn who we are by telling the truth about American history. And when we do that, when we talk about race relations, that's going to be a way to bring us together, because our stories will be told in our inclusive story. So that's what I see as far as anything else visually, because we understand who we are and we have pride, and hopefully pride and ownership, because I'm advocating for people to own here as opposed to just renting.
Amen. Amen. Yes.
Things will take care of itself once we have that sense of belonging and pride and knowing who we are.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you.
Very good. Well, this Princess, you were definitely a handful today.
Oh my goodness. I love this. You should have your own show.
She should.
Because I
educational
really,
whirlwind.
Because I could just listen to you all
day. Yes.
Not only the things that you're saying, but the sound of your voice is so comforting and soothing.
Oh, thank you.
Well, she's blushing.
She's the quiet storm.
Right. Well, this has been yet another episode of Trenton Waves.
Sasso's out. You've been listening to the Trenton Waves podcast. Visit us online at trentonwaves.com.